Good morning. I'm Don Meyer, Port of Tacoma Commission President, calling to order the special commission meeting of December 3rd, 2018. The time is 10 o'clock. We're meeting in Fabulous Center in Tacoma, Washington. All the commissioners are present. And would you join me in the pledge allegiance to start our meeting? Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands.
One nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. We have before us today one action item, and that is evaluating the RFP responses for our executive search services. This is an overview basically of the Northwest Seaport program and us selecting a new CEO for the Port of Tacoma. Our existing CEO has been doing double duty, so this is intended to select a search firm. Two firms lined up for today. The format that I would like to suggest we follow will be Shea Harding is going to go first, and then the other respondents will be second. I'm going to be pretty adamant about trying to limit the interview process to 30 minutes each. We do have some questions we're circulating to the commission. We also, and Commissioner McCarthy, I'll make certain that on the individual evaluation interview form, the intention here is to make certain that we identify your evaluation scores on this piece of paper. I guess you want them assigned or whatever it is, Mark. Is that what you want?
Sir, I just, their name on it.
Name
your,
on it
your names on it would be good for me.
It's intended to create a record of the process we've gone through, okay? So, everybody has this evaluation form or scoring sheet. Do you have two? Does everybody have two?
No, I don't have two.
You need two.
And Mark, if I may ask while he's passing that out, the scoring sheet that we're given today has a different scoring matrix than the one that you gave us.
Yes, sir. In the what you have in front of you, in our RFP, we said that the interviews was worth 100 points. So I'm just giving you some guidance on how to break that 100 points down.
I see.
Based on those questions. So if each one maxed out, you get a total of 100 points because there's five questions worth 20 points each.
But the one you had sent us with the package had four items.
This yes, sir.
Five. So I'm going to have to shift my numbers a little bit there. I worked on that.
So the initial evaluation that you had, the individual evaluation that you had, was based on those categories of the RFP. For, so they are different.
Okay, thank you.
And by the way, just as a format, I'm hoping that as we go through the various questions, that each commissioner does express a question or an area of concern that you would like to cover. My recommendation would be is hold on to that thought as you go through the second presentation, okay? So that we've got some consistency to make certain whether, even if they did answer it in their proposal, I think it's important that we create the record in consistency in terms of the questions or the question areas.
So you're just basically saying if we ask a question of one, make sure that
make certain you follow it up.
Oh, yeah.
In the same general category. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Are we clear? I'd like for Mark, can you bring in Susan? I guess I should have told Susan, she's cutting into her 30 minutes of time. How far did she go?
To go out for a run.
Well, we put her in that meeting in the room that the four of us met.
Okay.
Here's your clicker.
Okay, great.
Here's the microphone.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Susan.
How are you?
Thank you very much for coming here and being a part of our process. The fact is that we're very appreciative of your response to our RFP. You do know a little bit about us, obviously, in terms of having worked with you before. What I would like to suggest, the format today would be about a half hour is all we're going to do.
Okay.
You are one of two firms that we're interviewing today. And so we'll try to limit our questions and hopefully your response inside that 30-minute block of time.
Very good.
And I would like to maybe just start off with, could you tell us a little bit about your firm and your experiences and expertise, and maybe focus on the question of what do you think really makes you unique relative to the port environment and particularly for this position?
Sure. Well, in my presentation, I cover this, so I'm happy to cover it in advance of that. But we've been in business since 1990. We are a search firm that's really been centered around maritime transportation. So our historically, we began with searches primarily for shipping lines. And our practice has evolved really over the last 8 or 10 years to be about equal between shipping companies, terminal operators, stevedoring companies, and ports. Ports are now about half of our business. The private sector side is actually good for us because that still provides us with an excellent range of prospects and relationships in the maritime industry. So how we're best qualified, there aren't that many firms like ours that truly specialize exclusively in the maritime industry. When we're in this setting, competing against other firms, typically other firms have transportation as a piece of their search practice, and that is really all of our practice. So I think the advantage that we bring to the table is that we have relationships in maritime throughout the country. A lot of the times when we're working with candidates that apply for positions, we know the backstory that might not be obvious without having had those relationships and having had multiple searches with other ports around the country. So I think we can really add a value and an advantage of having that industry expertise and knowing a lot of the players. And if we don't know candidates, I feel that our ability to get to the backstory and the information on those candidates will be very valuable for you. And I think that was shown in the search that we did previously.
Do you have a short little presentation?
I sure do, like? Yeah.
Okay, why don't you walk through that rather quickly for us?
And I have copies of that.
Julia can distribute it. Okay. We can pass those out for you.
Okay, so we can cover a little bit. I'll make this short and sweet. I'll breeze through some of this. But as I was thinking about a presentation quality, I was thinking about the things that we actually partially learned from engaging with the Port of Tacoma, 8 years ago, in how a process works and how to keep it. The things that I think are important to be considering as you look at a search firm and as you make a determination about who's the best fit for you. So I will talk about some of the things that I think are important in the process. But I mentioned we were founded in 1990. My husband and I, Jeff, run the company now. Just the two of us. So another advantage is you're dealing with the principals of the company. We don't outsource any services. You're engaged with the people that are running searches every day. So that's important. And our combined expertise is about 20 years. We're well known in the maritime industry throughout the country with ports all over, large and small. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a bit. And I mentioned our client company backgrounds, the kinds of firms that we work with today. Here are some of the ports we've worked with most recently. As I was flying up yesterday, I noticed that we like the Port of New Orleans so much we listed them twice, so disregard that. And again, kind of back to the issue of the things that I think are important for you to consider in a firm that you hire is how the process runs. And this is all very familiar to all of you because, you know, you helped us set the standard when the CEO search, we were engaged in the CEO search, but agreeing on the criteria for a candidate up front and having the commission engaged in that process is really important, defining it clearly and not having criteria that's too broad. So that's important to us, and I think it should be important to you too. Having an internal contact person at the port and ensuring that it stays on target time-wise. We have a very high-profile search in progress right now that has lagged, and so what's the result? We've got candidates that are wondering, you know, what's going on because it hasn't moved to the level of interviews yet, and you've got also candidates that are finding other opportunities that are dropping out. So there's a bit of a concern about credibility for the port too, and our job is to help ensure that as much as possible we can stay on track so that we don't lose people and we don't lose credibility. Setting aside interview dates early on is one of the most critical things I can recommend. This other big high-profile port, we've been in the process for 3 months and they still aren't at the point of even defining interviews, so it's a real challenge there. Early on, defining the compensation and other elements that a candidate is likely to be eligible for when they're hired. We will, of course, help manage the logistics, candidate travel, communication, adhering to public meeting laws. As you know, Carolyn was well involved in that process when we worked with you before. Availability of the decision makers, the commission at the appropriate time when we get to the point of interviews, and factoring external issues. Does the city want to be involved? Does the county want to be involved? Do you have other stakeholders locally? Do you have customers that may want to be engaged in the process? And how does that fit into the timeline, the process, and the decision making? So this is something that's really important to us and something I think we learned some lessons working with the Port of Tacoma before. Number one, ensuring that candidate confidentiality is maintained. We've learned over the years that when public disclosures come into play, you lose good candidates and you may not even get them to the table in the first place if there's a concern about their confidentiality being breached. So that's an important thing. And those internal and external disclosures that might jeopardize the candidate pool. And then, of course, our relationships with candidates, whether they're new to us or they're somebody we've dealt with for years, and in helping understand the backstory and what the concerns or advantages that they may bring to the table as a candidate. That's really important for us, too, to be able to share with the commission. Back to the confidentiality, keeping that list of candidates out of the press, organizational sensitivities. Are there internal candidates? Is it okay to disclose that to other candidates in the pool so that they know that they're up against potentially an internal candidate? So discussions around those things would be important. And then one of the things we've also learned is that the relationship between the commissioners, as it shows up in meetings and in interviews with candidates, can really help or hinder a candidate's perception of the organization. So we like to make sure that when a candidate comes to the table, that they're ready for what the different dynamics are, and we can help provide them with guidance on those things, and that the board recognizes the importance of course, putting a best foot forward when candidates are in interviews. And as you all know, involvement from legal counsel is really important. We want to make sure that public meeting laws are adhered to. Again, those impressions that are made during the interviews. Consistency in evaluating candidates, whether they're internal, they're external, whether they're known to you or us or they're not. And then finally, creating a finalist list, going back to the initial criteria that we set at the beginning of the process, and making sure that we're aligned in what you decided we were going to be looking for and what we've got in our finalist candidates. And then, as we all know, sometimes candidates back out, and keeping those final couple of candidates warm if there's more than one that you would truly consider hiring. So finally, we feel that having a well-respected firm to manage the process is important. We can help navigate that. We know what's going on in the industry. If there's turnover, if there are things happening within the maritime industry in the country, a lot of times we know that early on, and so we can potentially access candidates that may be in a precarious situation. And then, of course, we can help you anticipate the questions, the issues, and some of the landmines with regard to a search. I mentioned getting the backstory on candidates and the value of that. And our specialization within the maritime space will serve us well. And then finding those candidates that may not be looking, that might be great prospects for the role, I think that we can really help in that regard, identifying those people who may not know about the opportunity. And then working with the commission, getting everyone on board, the soft and hard qualifications. Hi, Carolyn. That will help us ultimately lead to the best candidate selection. And then I think, as you would attest to, a trusted partner, somebody that that you know is going to represent the port well, that you know is going to represent candidates well, that's going to be a good communicator and provide a good extension of your team. That's something that we feel is important, and I hope you do too. So that's it. Sorry to breeze through that, but I know that you wanted your time.
Yeah, I think we probably have a few questions for you.
Great.
But I do appreciate you making it brief and keeping to the point. So, Commissioner, questions? Follow up?
I'd ask Claire. I'd try to start with your question.
Commissioner Petrich.
Because I know what it is.
I have two questions, actually. Maybe you give me time for two instead of going around. My first question is the tough one.
Yeah.
We had such a successful relationship working with you when we hired John Wolf as the director of the Northwest Seaport Alliance. And I know, because I see you at all of the port meetings, mm-hmm. that you know ports and port operations and transportation and logistics. You know all of that intimately, mm-hmm. everything about it.
Yeah.
This job is different.
Yeah.
And my concern is mm-hmm. that what's required in this job is basically a person, I wrote down some thoughts,
yeah.
that understands jurisdictions within ports,
right.
about who does what, understands and can cooperate on port issues, but is hands off in the idea of operating the Northwest Seaport Alliance.
Right.
This
right.
particular person is going to be doing something different.
Right.
That job is economic development primarily. It's mm-hmm. starting, it's basically starting not anew because we have a lot of real estate holdings,
yeah.
but it will be beginning with what exists as our real estate holdings and hopefully developing a business in Tacoma and Pierce County that will grow. So the knowledge is important,
yeah.
so that person can stay out of the way of the Northwest Seaport Alliance and understood. Its operations, but also knows how to enhance
yeah.
that work, because that is primarily the work of the Port of Tacoma in the Seaport Alliance. So,
understood.
So enhancing that work is important. So
yeah.
number one, how are you going to find that person, and what kind of questions are you going to ask them to determine that you've got somebody who's able to walk this very fine line?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And actually, that was one of my questions for you, the distinction between the Seaport Alliance and how we market that, this role and the Seaport Alliance. So that was one of the questions I had for you. But to answer your question, one of the questions in the very extensive RFP and markets the prize for the longest RFP ever received. congratulations,
nicely
sir.
Done.
One of the questions was about real estate and our relationship or our knowledge of candidates with a real estate background. And I think that's a piece of this. It's not all of it, but it's a piece of it. And to answer that question, I can think of three people that we've placed recently in either COO roles or executive director roles that had a port real estate background, where that was really their foundation, and their shift into the maritime piece of the business was secondary to their foundation in real estate. So I think we have the ability to find those people by virtue of the port industry. Now, we may also be looking, and this requires further definition from all of you on what this role is and the qualifications you're looking for. But I suspect maybe a commercial real estate background might be something that you'd be looking for. Maybe somebody with some sort of relationship with a county or city government or that kind of thing, where they're involved with those kinds of assets. And then you mentioned economic development. That's another piece where we could really kind of target the search, looking for people with economic development backgrounds that have also touched on real estate leasing and distinguishing that from the alliance is going to be the tricky part. And I think part of our process, if we were to move forward in ensuring that that was well defined. But I don't think this is that far out of the realm of our typical searches, in that the real estate part is a piece of it, the economic development part background is a piece of what we see in candidates for other port positions around the U.S. So I hope that answers your question.
Well, but the second question was economic development pool.
Yeah.
I mean, your ability to tap into that when most of your work has been port related or transportation.
Well, interesting.
Related.
Again, I can think of a few candidates off the top of my head too that we've dealt with, whether or not we've placed them. People I know in the port industry that also came from an economic development background. So I don't think that's too far out of the realm either. And again, the pool of people that we engage with, because a lot of these port positions are so high profile. We get people from those kinds of backgrounds that may not be relevant for a job that requires more of an operational focus in a port setting. But so we have certainly access to those kinds of people. We'd want to engage with you and ensure that we were targeting the right kinds of organizations and the right individuals to find those paths of candidates. But I don't think that that's too far off base for us, and especially as it relates to being within a port environment. But I do recognize the distinction.
Commissioner Marzano, do you have a question?
Well, Claire kind of answered it, and you kind of answered the question. I was concerned about if you've worked with the EDBs or the Jarius Chambers during your placements in the past.
A little bit. I think we've touched on them as more as stakeholders and as advisory kinds of roles, but. We don't usually it's a commission making the decision or a port CEO making the hiring decision. So we've had superficial engagement, but I don't think that would be a concern for us. And as you know from our previous search where we did the stakeholder engagement, I think that could help us open some doors to potential candidates that we may not otherwise know of. So I think developing those relationships, meetings with folks at the county, folks at the city, folks at the various business organizations here might help us. And we also have to discuss whether somebody from outside of this region might be well suited for the role or not. Do you need it to be more of a regional focus? So those are the kinds of things that you should probably be thinking about, whether you select us or not.
Yeah, I noticed that a big majority of the placements that you have placed are usually public entities. I was just wondering if you've done stuff on the private side too.
Well, we listed the public sector as the most relevant for this search. We're about half and half now. We still work with the shipping lines. We work with terminal operators. So about half of our business is on the private sector side.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I suspect our first big meeting, should you be selected, is defining what the job description really looks like.
Exactly. And there wasn't a whole lot to it yet, so I came in here a little bit.
You're up to speed with us.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a different position.
It is.
And the other thing, no matter what we do, we'll probably follow the same process we did the last time. Do you see a problem with the final four candidates, or how many finalists we have for interviews? Those names are going to become public, just like they did last time.
I don't think it's ideal, to be honest.
No, it's not.
I know that you have constraints and disclosure issues that you have to manage from a regional standpoint. I do think it could affect your candidate pool to some degree. But as long as we know that up front, as long as candidates know that up front, that if they get to that final few, and really ideally if it's the final two or something like that, then that's even a better scenario.
Yeah,
you know, if
that's
you can
what, that's
really
what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, that's typical of most of the searches we do, where If it comes down to a much shorter list, there's a public disclosure. But I think if we could narrow it to that, I think that would be ideal.
I want to ask, strange person to ask this question, because I want to ask about the diversity question.
Yeah.
So how do we make sure we have a diverse search and still wind up with the best person no matter what?
Right. Well, the good news is that in our port practice, search practice, those tend to be the most diverse hires, the most diverse candidate pools. The private sector does a terrible job in that regard. The port sector, you may see from our proposal, I think it's something like half of the examples we gave of 15 or 20 recent searches were women and or diverse candidates. So we're not only helping place diverse candidates, but you know, you think about the pool that's behind those final selections. I think we do a really good job bringing the best candidates to the table who also happen to be diverse candidates.
Commissioner McCarthy?
I'm good.
You're good? Okay.
I was kind of interpreting diverse in a different way, diverse more in experience.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Just as related to the original question.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I, again, I think, you know, as I was looking at the proposal and trying to figure it out, you know, I looked at the distinction between the alliance and how that's presented. Mm-hmm. And then if we move forward, I will have a lot of questions about how this distinction will be made from a leadership standpoint, the questions to be thinking about as far as, you know, organizational understanding of how this role fits in, looking at the org chart, there is no spot for this role yet. So how does that fit in? So I think there's going to be a lot of development work and positioning this role so that there's an understanding internally and externally, and as we market the role, how we best describe it. Not just the qualifications, the diverse qualifications, but also how it fits in within the port and with the alliance.
Right. Right. Susan, one of the things that I appreciate you making a reference to is sorting out that process, because mm-hmm. that needs to definitely be sorted out. But it also is kind of a reminder to me in terms of the risk we have here is this is new.
Yeah.
Number one. Number
and
two,
that kind of makes it interesting in a way, you know.
That's a great challenge. But yeah. the reality in my mind is also around the idea that in your proposal, you talked about a guarantee,
yep.
12-month guarantee, mm-hmm. and then it was, I think, some gradation off of that.
That's correct.
Now, in the context of your experience, how often have you had to do that?
Never. And in fact, that was one of the questions in the proposal. We've never had to replace somebody within a year. Never. Now, there was a question, too, about the percentage of searches that we started that we didn't finish or something of that nature. Mark, does that ring a bell? And it was 90%. And that was because the client pulled the position. They did something else, but it wasn't our performance or anything like that. So, but we have never had a replacement situation with any of the ports we've placed anybody with.
Do you have any questions of us?
Well, I did have
other than the big question.
Yeah, I did have some questions around that, around the org chart, around how this fits in. You know, since this is unique and this isn't specifically maritime, yet it's for a port, you know, how will you make the decision on the firm that's best suited? What are the things that you'll be discussing and factoring into the consideration?
Well, I think that on the basis of some of the questions that were posed here, is your willingness to work through these items, because I think Commissioner Johnson has mm-hmm. characterized it pretty well, and that is, it's new to us too.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to find some firm that we feel comfortable enough that has, I think, as Commissioner Petrich articulated, is economic development capability.
Right.
Because I view that in a broad sense, a real estate background, because that's really the role of the position. But it's also one that is looking for the ability to work through with our CEO, the Northwest Seaport Alliance, because there's a relationship there.
Right.
Whether we whether you have as a dotted line or a direct line, the reality is there's a working relationship
right.
that's going to be expected. So that,
yeah.
that in and of itself is very unique, I think.
I think so, too. But I also think because of, number one, the port's reputation as a good one, and I think because of the high-profile nature of this role, and because there is some, you know, sort of excitement around developing a position that's not clearly perfectly defined, some people will really, I think, embrace that. And I think you'll have a lot of interest, regardless of how it's ultimately defined. I think you're going to have a good pool of people to draw from. One thing I'll mention, too, is that some of the searches we've handled have not been, you know, typical for us. We handled a legal counsel search for the Port of New Orleans last year. That was entirely new to us. I learned the whole new language and a whole different pool of candidates than we had ever dealt with. So I feel that we're adaptable enough to help you figure it out, to help us figure it out, and to help market the port and this role in however it's ultimately defined.
Susan, I want to say thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you have some follow-up questions, we'll be able to perhaps do that later.
Okay. I'll handle
I apologize,
those
but we are up for our half
I
hour.
I completely understand.
It's probably the quickest half thank hour you've had in a long time.
Sticking to it, I like
yeah.
it. Thank you, for the
thank you very much, Susan. I really appreciate that.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you,
day.
Susan.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Thanks, Sue.
Hasn't showed up yet.
They haven't showed up yet?
Oh, sir, we gave him 15 minutes in between, so you'd have time to discuss.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Oh, well, I guess what we can do is finish your scoring.
Claire, okay.
My notes.
No, no, that's okay. Yeah.
You don't mind.
That's
perfect.
Thank
you. You know, since I'm not going to be able to score based on interviews equally, I'm going to give you my scoring just for my review on the application sheet. Yeah, okay, with some numerical thinking.
Okay.
And with that, I think I'm going to go to my funeral.
Okay.
You know that,
no, yeah.
Let me clarify.
Not your funeral.
John, just so you know, I did have Mark and Jean go through reference checking on both firms, and that both firms, there are no red flags at all, just so you know. Okay?
Hey, Mark, how many do you do this thing?
Yeah. I work closer with it than you guys did. That's very nice.
Yeah.
I see one. I failed to ask this question. I don't think it's appropriate yet. It's how do we? It's going to be more than one.
Yeah, it always is.
I'm going to excuse myself for a second. I'll be right back.
So, Dick, what do you think of the Mariners changes?
Yeah, it's about time, I guess. I don't. They've got to do something.
Yeah. Otherwise, just
whoa.
It really
a lot
is.
Of teams out there. Don't
I'm going to dust off my Cubs hat, I guess, for a while.
Yeah, for a couple of years, anyway. Didn't include the meet and greet.
I think our final plan should be the same thing we did last time. As frightening as that was, that bus ride over to the, remember that one guy? He did everything. He gave the girls cups. He adopted this. He did this. But it's important to do that.
That's right.
And I was really pleased with us, with the employees. They told me, said, they're all fine. Which is big on their part. And I don't see any reason to change the overall process than we did with the new class.
No, the process was great. It fits right in.
They're both the same. I think we should take up our process.
Hmm? Can delete that.
Hey, Claire.
Yeah?
I walk up here on this dais, and all of a sudden, this heat wave next to you.
That's a good thing.
Oh, I know why. There's a middle air right above
I'm getting the other, are you getting hot? I'm getting the other side of it. I'm getting the cold air.
Oh, okay. We're getting a little closer to you, huh?
Yeah.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the Port of Tacoma. It's my pleasure to serve as the person leading this meeting. So, and I am Don Meyer, and although I did meet you out in the hallway, yeah. Bill and Tom, I've known you for quite some time. So anyway, I thought what we would do, just by way of format here, we'll probably limit this whole interview process to about 30 minutes. And I understand you do have a short presentation you would like to walk through. Why don't you start with that, if that would be okay with you. Introduce yourself a little bit in terms of your firm. And of course, we're always interested in is how you're going to, special capabilities that would be perfect for this search process. So I'll turn it over to you, to Bill.
Okay, sir. Well, Commissioner Meyer, thank you. Appreciate it. Commissioners, it's good to be here. We are Reffitt Associates. We are a hometown firm. We're based out of Bellevue, and it's always particularly exciting to be able to do work in your own backyard. not always the case, and that proximity certainly allows for some greater lines of communication that we would look forward to if we were to win this search. So I am Tom Young. A few of you know me from my many years with Congressman Reichert, where I was his district director. I handled issues of maritime, transportation, business, labor, tribal affairs, environment, worked closely with the maritime community, the port, both Port of Seattle, Northwest Seaport Alliance, Port of Tacoma. I'm now with Refit Associates. We are an executive search firm, veteran-owned small business. Bill is going to introduce the firm a little more, but I handle public practice searches for them and assist on private sector practices.
Good. I'll just take a few minutes because I know we are time constrained and you want to spend most of the time walking through our process. I founded the firm back in over 20 years ago. I was before that, I was the a partner in the Seattle office of Korn Ferry International, the largest executive search firm in the country. I'd had a pretty decent career before then. One of the things I did was I was actually the chief operating officer for Frederick and Nelson. If any of you remember it, and it was the best job I ever had.
What was the name of the candy, Frederick and Nelson?
Frango.
Frango.
I used to run the factory.
Well, let's see, that's a plus.
My wife's Christmas present one year was a tour of the Frango factory. Your best Christmas she ever had. So I was there for 6 years. I was the chief operating officer, and other things I had done was I was in New York and New Jersey for an investment banking private equity firm that specialized in companies all around the country. And also, most importantly, I have 27 years of active and reserve military experience, some of them down here at JBLM, which back then was called Fort Lewis. So we, as Tom says, we are based in Bellevue. We have four offices around the country based in, other than Seattle, based in major cities. We also have a partner firm in California. So with our 14 professionals that staff those offices, we can conduct searches nationwide, and we would have a nationwide reach for you if you want to do a national search. The other thing we are, and this is kind of important, is that we belong to something called Agilium Worldwide, which is a worldwide consortium of privately held search firms just like ours. And so if we have 38 international partners in 36 countries worldwide, and we work back and forth with them constantly. And finally, concerning the firm, one of the issues that I think is most important to us is that 2 years ago we were voted as the number one diversity search firm in America. And that's not because of the gender or racial makeup of our team, although we are representative, but it was because we're able to provide our, in their judgment, in Diversity Inc., who does this, we were able to provide our clients with the best slate of diverse candidates for the searches that we did. Some of the work, our major practices are the consumer practice, obviously, because I come out of the consumer sector. Financial and private equity, investment banking, and state, local, and federal government. Some of the work that we have done recently is we placed the president for the Naval Postgraduate School based in Monterey, California. It's an accredited graduate school run by the U.S. government. This president of the NPS reports to the Secretary of the Navy. And it is a government research and education facility for MBAs, PhDs in engineering, and most of the folks for civilians and for the military government. It's a nationally ranked university. Currently, we have a three-year agreement with something called the First Responder Network, and I don't know if that's not widely publicized, but it was a nationwide secure broadband communications channel for all first responders, police, fire, EMTs nationwide. and it was designed, but it was recommended by the 9/11 Commission, and it was designed to provide all of our emergency responder people with a secure channel in case of emergency. We are currently doing the executive director and chief executive officer for this. It's a public-private partnership between AT&T and the federal government. AT&T is investing $40 billion in it over the next 5 years, and the government is investing $6 billion over the next 2 years, and we're responsible for not only doing a CEO, but also all the rest of their the C-level people, as well as their folks out in the field, as we ramp this up.
Why don't we jump now to scope of work so we can start addressing some of the points?
Yep.
So when it comes to the scope of work that you've asked us to do in your RFP, wanted to speak specifically to that. We do have a lead behind that we've provided to you that shows some of our other work. We'll reference some of that as we go through, but wanted to make sure we had enough time to really dig into how we're going to handle this search. First thing that the scope of work asked for was for us to be able to work with you and the commission, port staff, to develop the job description. This is something we routinely do with our clients, and sometimes we're asked to entirely draft the job description. Sometimes there's an existing job description that we then modify or enhance after having conversations. And our proposal would be that, you know, we would be here in person, having meetings with the commission, any staff that would be appropriate, so that we really get a sense of what those required qualifications, values, skills are, and we could put that into the job description. Now, I'm not sure, and this is a question we would have for later, is are you planning to post this online, or are you going to have a confidential search? Now, we have recommendations on that we can talk about later. That varies then. We'd have two different job descriptions, one for posting and one for providing as we're contacting candidates. So, Mark, these are two sample job descriptions that we've done. Can I hand these to you as a lead behind? And if you wanted to share them with the commission, we can do that. I'll also email them to you later. But our job description, we call it a position description. When we're contacting candidates that are cold calls, that aren't looking to be contacted, as we're researching them, provides a little bit about the organization, provides a little bit about the region, and then all the details about the job, so that in one piece, they're able to get a good sense of what's going on. And then we have multiple conversations with them to vet the candidate.
You'll find with our position descriptions are much more detailed than other folks. And I'm sure you'll be able to take a look at them, because one of the things we found is when you recruit somebody, you're not only recruiting them, but you're recruiting their family. And so what we try to do with the position specification is put some, not only talk about the history of the organization that they're joining and the responsibilities, but also the local area, what's available for them in schools, recreation, that sort of thing too. So that they can, and we ask them to share it with the family.
So we would work with the commissioners, the staff, to identify these required qualifications. And what we would like to create is a measurable standard. So we'll identify the skills, the abilities, we can put weight on those. And then when we come back later in the process, we can compare the candidates we provide against the state. And what we would then do is present you a pool of candidates that meet the requirement, and then we allow for some human factor. So once we presented the top candidates that met that requirement, you were then able to decide who best fits. And it's not purely numbers, but it's numbers based, so it's measurable and replicable, which is important, especially in public searches. So we have a recruitment timeline. If you turn to page 9 in your handout that we provided, that is what our typical timeline looks like. This is based off of private sector searches. It's a 3-month, 90-day timeline. Our average time to fill is in the high 70s. Currently, it's about 77 days. And you'll see we have it laid out, kind of what you can expect at each given moment in the search. And that helps establish kind of what the expectations are, so that you know what you should be getting and we know what we should be delivering, and helps us keep us on timeline. Now, this is customizable. Oftentimes, clients want us to either slow it down, sometimes they want us to speed it up. It depends on how long it takes to meet all the stakeholders, to put the job description together. But once we have the job description and we're able to start rolling, things really move quickly, because we're able to, with our research, with our network, identify candidates, generate interest. So go back to our diversity sourcing. Certainly for government clients, they have significant interest in diversity of candidates. Private sector clients are having more and more interest in being able to discuss the numbers. What does that look like? And our goal for our government clients is when we present to you those that we think are qualified candidates to be between 25 and 30% diverse. We're doing, just completing a search for Sound Transit for Executive Director of Design, Engineering, and Construction Management, senior leadership position. And we're just completing the search for Seattle Department of Transportation Director. For both of those, we hit that 30% number. We provided 15 candidates to Sound Transit. Five of them were diverse for by race and gender. And then for Seattle Department of Transportation, we provided 13 candidates, and five of them were diverse by race and gender. And this is done by knowing where to look, knowing who to approach, and sometimes being able to reach those who wouldn't normally be thinking about something like this, because oftentimes for diverse candidates, there's a barrier to even thinking about being qualified or interested in the position. And so you've got to be able to proactively go after them. And we have the ability to do that and the experience to do that. So when it comes to sourcing candidate, we are active recruiters. We don't just post and pray, as some people say, but we are on the phone, we are emailing, regular communication. So we really work, not just our network, but the research to talk to people firsthand. And that really helps to generate candidate flow. And it's really about candidate flow. How many numbers can you generate?
Oftentimes you'll see that we have contacted upwards of 300 candidates for one job,
right?
And they're all screened at some point in the process.
Right. For Seattle Department of Transportation, it was in excess of 200 candidates that we've contacted, and that's routine, as Bill was saying. So a question would be, are there any off limits on this search? And you can answer that later. Maybe Northwest Seaport Alliance or Port of Seattle. That impacts how we do our search, but we want to be aware of that up front. But then in terms of where we would go, there'd be near-peer competitor ports, emerging ports, Charleston. I don't know if we can do an international search for this, so would we be able to go to Prince Rupert or Vancouver Port Authority? That would allow for other candidates. There's the large ports, port associations, and certainly working with the federal government, MARAD, USDOT, where we have relationships, be able to find candidates that might be prospective fits for Port Tacoma.
MARAD is a past a client of ours, so we do have some relationships in there.
Right. As well, we have lots of relationships with local maritime industry, SSA, Saltchuk, Vigor, so we've worked with them before. Something that was called out in the RFP, and Bill, maybe you would speak to this a little further, is experience finding candidates that have a strong real estate background, and that is something that when we're doing CEO searches or CFO searches, these candidates really need to have that type of experience.
Sure, we've done a number of searches for heads of real estate for different companies. We've done heads of real estate counsel for different companies. But reality, I think for this position with the CEO here, it's along the lines of we're assuming it's along the lines of what you would like for a normal CEO who's responsible for running the company and running that as a major department. For example, we did the search for the president of Bartels Drugs here, and she certainly is a strong merchant and general manager, but one of the issues in her background, one of the items in her background is the ability to understand the rollout position of the store construction and that sort of thing. So we look more for, we're assuming you're looking for someone who understands the department, how to run it, and how to manage the group as opposed to a pure real estate person. Maybe we could talk about that later during the question period.
And certainly for SDOT, the candidates they're looking for as ideal candidates have to understand right-of-way issues, land use issues, and the role of public lands, managing those lands. And so that was definitely something that we factored in on those search. And similarly with Sound Transit, for the design, engineering, construction management, somebody that could work with the real estate team as they're acquiring new properties to build out the system.
And it was FirstNet also. Not only do they have to be an expert in broadband, but they have to be an expert in rollout because they also have to understand right-of-ways, public lands, and that sort of thing as they roll out their distribution network nationwide.
So then when it comes to the evaluation of candidates, we talked a little bit about that weighted profile that we create for the U.S. Navy and the Naval Postgraduate School. We had a candidate attribute matrix that we called it, very fancy, but it means that we had defined the key qualifications, weighted those in working with the search committee, and then we're able to provide them feedback on the candidates and how they scored on each of those categories. So it gave them something measurable. For them, we also drafted interview questions and coached the search committee, who was a number of flag officers who maybe didn't have a lot of experience, especially interviewing academics, to provide them tips and strategies for how to get at the information they needed from the candidates. So our final product to you is what we call a candidate book, and this is done on rolling admissions. So as we generate candidates, we will present you a candidate book that will have a summary. And Mark, I've also got some sample summaries here if you want to share that. Those we draft up, they're short. They give you a perspective on who the candidate is. We have the candidate resume. We have a cover letter, if that is something that you would desire to have. And then sometimes we'll do a supplemental questionnaire that gets at some of the other issues in the candidate's background. And you'll have all that information before you. And generally, as soon as we have three candidates, we'll provide you a candidate book. When we get three more candidates, it'll be the second candidate book. And once you have a solid pool of candidates, we can then decide to go to interviews and start working with candidates. And that's, for each client, going to be a different number and different look, but we try to be flexible for the needs of the client on that.
You have much more in your presentation because I want to leave some time for questions.
I was just going to say, I'm cutting off there. We've been hustling.
Very well, Tom.
We've been hustling to kind of cover a lot of ground, and we certainly want to be able to answer questions as well as we have a few questions ourselves that would help clarify a few things.
And Mr. Commissioner, you may know, or if you looked at the bios, we're both lawyers too, so.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so this is tough. We want to talk to you.
You've overcome that handicap very well. Commissioner Petridge.
Sure, I do have a couple of questions for you. Number one, I know that you're familiar with the work of the port and the Port of Tacoma and its success, and you do know about the alliance and the fact that about 80% of the port's business went into the alliance. Mm-hmm. So this position is really a very, very new position for us. It's more of an economic development position. What we have at the port that's not in the Northwest Seaport Alliance is what will be managed and what will be grown, we mm-hmm. hope. So we're looking for, certainly one of the candidates we're looking for is someone who knows how to grow business. It requires, the job is going to require knowledge about transportation, mm-hmm. port operations, because that's who we are. But it also is going to be requiring a person who is extremely sensitive in working with others. And I'm going to say understanding what the jurisdictional differences are between the Port of Tacoma and the job of managing the business that is not in the alliance, mm-hmm. and being able to cooperate at the same time to perhaps look at real estate opportunities that will enhance the maritime, but will be managed by the Port of Tacoma itself, not by the alliance, and also knows when to keep his or her hands off of issues that are going on with the alliance. So it's going to require walking on a very thin line, yeah. in a brand new position that, in fact, hasn't been defined before.
You'll need a good listener, and certainly understanding things like the LNG terminal, working with the tribes, and there, I don't know if there's another port in the country that has tribes.
Well, one next door to us.
Well, doesn't make sense, but this is a unique situation, certainly.
Right. So how would you, number one, how would you question somebody to find a person with those kinds of, this is not a job that you can say, hey, I've got this job here in Tacoma, and you're just the right person for it because you've been doing it down here. So how will you find that kind of person?
Well, I think first we want to start.
Go ahead, you start.
And how do you determine if that candidate will be successful?
Well, this is a very unique job. Every job is a unique job. So you've got to be able to find those people that are going to be able to handle with the sensitivity that it needs. Because, for instance, the director of SDOT, not all city transportation agencies are the same, and some have buses and some don't have buses, and some have a strong mayor and some have a weak mayor. So you've got to find people that show in their background and their experiences that they understand. In this case, it's how to listen, how to lead and when to be led, how to work with new partners. So you're looking for a strong coalition player. And that's something you identify by looking at background. So that goes to the questioning. It goes to how strongly, when we're working with you, can we identify those key requirements? You know, we need to find somebody that understands labor. So that's important. And you add all those layers on. And so what we say in the industry is, you know, you're looking for a unicorn. And the question is it a purple unicorn or a green unicorn? Because no such thing exists, but you find as many of the qualities as you can. And then you've got to make the tough decision on who has the best fit for the organization. Anything to add to that, Bill?
Yeah, I think also it all starts, you alluded to it, but it all starts with the position specification. And we have to learn as much and know as much about this job as hopefully you do. And that means spending as much time with you or whomever you designate to actually learn the job and the key performance indicators. And we put that in the position description, describe it correctly, put that in the dialogue we have with the candidate and report back to you on that. We have to learn from you, just to be totally honest with you.
One other question is simply, how much experience do you have in working with people who are in the field of economic development?
Oh, gee. Is pure economic development? Yeah. Not much. But that doesn't mean we can't do it. We didn't have any experience doing a university president either before we did that one.
But we do have a lot of experience with CFOs, with entrepreneurs, those type of organizations. And I think those skill sets translate into what we're talking about.
Very good. Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, just a couple, because just to jump on what Commissioner Petrich talked about, I'm sure in your placements you've worked with the EDBs or different chambers as stakeholders or whatever to help.
That's correct. Some,
okay. And in your response to our port RFP, you had mentioned that 30% of your work has been in the government and 70% in the private sector. Is
that's correct.
About basically?
Yeah, that's
correct. I guess I'm looking at, how about, you know, just general public placements? You know, I'm assuming when I look at the 30% government, I'm looking at public sector.
Yes, public sector.
Okay.
Not pure government.
Right. Okay, that's what I want to make sure. Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Mr. Johnson.
Just two questions, and I got to guess in a comment. The final candidate list will have to become public knowledge. How do you address that issue?
So that was a question I was going to have for you, and it's actually a bigger question, and that is, I'm assuming this entire process is going to be publicly disclosable.
Yep, that's it.
And so we're looking at RCW 74.18, and that's talking about confidentiality. So when we're working with our private sector clients, Sound Transit and SDOT, most similar because they're Washington State-based, there are things that you can do, and this is going to be really important for generating candidate interest, to protect their anonymity as long as possible.
And I'm talking about the finalists.
I understand. But we want to protect that information as long as possible. And then when we disclose, we've got to give the finalist notice. And your question is, how do we make the finalist public?
Well, I know how to do that. You just put it in the paper.
Right.
the issue is you have to keep your finalists, your two or three or four best finalists, willing to go ahead and have their names publicized and have that backwash issue
right. Ready
for them to be addressed.
So that's one thing, is you've got to hold the candidate's hand as long as possible, be very candid with them from the start,
yep,
what that's going to look like. And you can keep candidates confidential and until you have the finalists that you want to put forward, so you don't have to put them all out there. In some situations, you can say, hey, once we get down to the final three, you need to know that we're going to publicize this so you can take steps to do what you need to do to protect yourself or to prepare your team, which is the big issues for candidates. And sometimes you will lose candidates if that is not handled well. So really having that close communication both with the needs of the port and how they want to operate and release information and make sure that the candidates are on board with that as well. Because if you don't have that, you're going to lose candidates.
Very good. Can I ask?
Yes.
In your own words, can you briefly describe the relationship between the Port of Tacoma and the Northwest Seaport Alliance?
So the Northwest Seaport Alliance is a merger between Port of Seattle and Port of Tacoma to be able to compete more efficiently on the global stage. They have pooled resources. John Wolf is handling that. He has been straddling both Port of Tacoma and the Northwest Seaport Alliance. I think it makes sense for him to be able to concentrate just on the Seaport Alliance. As Commissioner Petrick said, now Port of Tacoma is handling significantly less work. They've got a lot of real estate, the holdings down in Frederickson, the port here, and making sure that that container goods will roll on, roll off, still coming through, still moving, and still a vital hub of economic activity for the state.
Thank you. Very good. One of the things that I'm very interested in is that, you know, this is essentially a new position in terms of the relationship to the Northwest Seaport Alliance. And in your presentation or in the RFP response, I didn't see any reference to what happens if it didn't work out. In other words, a little bit of a warranty question.
Yeah.
I think we had the warranty information in there, actually.
Yeah. Was there a warranty?
Sure.
It was about three sentences. We try to hide it.
Yeah, we try to hide it.
Can you talk? Well, okay, so I missed it.
Commissioner, I'd say that
it's an important step, because you described, you know, either one, your experience of having to do a replacement, or two, what is your basic policy?
Yes, sir. Our policy is that if the person is if the person leaves the position within the first year, either voluntarily or is fired for non-performance, we will redo the search for free, expenses with our expenses only. Okay. We've been in this, the firm has been in existence over 24 years. We've had to do that one time.
Pretty good track record. Yeah. Very good track record.
Well, we like to share your business risk, and I think.
Yeah. Do you have any questions of us at this stage?
Well, we put a few out there. The one is, you know, kind of jumping the gun. Do you have any off limits? I'm assuming this is a national search. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah. And then would you want to be posting this search, or would it be kept confidential?
I think public disclosure and transparency in this process is paramount. As a public,
and that just changes how the search is conducted. Yeah. And so what we do in that case is we keep track of all the candidates that come in. We'll provide you a spreadsheet that shows every candidate, what their title is, that they came in, and then we'll kind of vet those into groups, because I can tell you that you'll get some people that build retaining walls wanting to be the new executive director. Probably very talented, but not the right fit. But we want to make sure that that information is captured.
Who does the vetting?
What's that?
Who does the vetting?
We do. There are two parts to that, sir. Let me just. First is the individual vetting of the initial candidate. We call them. It'll be Tom, myself, or as many of our people that we need to successfully complete the search. We will call and do an initial interview with this person and talk with them. We also do a brief background check. That's basically through following through the resume, see who they've worked for. We've been around them long enough that we are fairly well connected, so that we can always find somebody that knows them. So that's to get them into the final area. What we do with the 3 to 5 finalists, depending on how many you want, is we run a deep criminal background and civil background check.
Social media.
And a social media check. Criminal background, a civil background check, they have to give us authority to do that. And you'd be surprised how many people drop off when you tell them you've got to give us authority to look at your background.
Give you your answer right up front.
The social media check, we use a separate group. We use a international security company that delves deep into their social media history and will give us a profile of about everything they've ever put on the internet. So we know what they talk about, we know what people say about them, and we don't have to, because the internet's public, we don't have to get their release to do that.
Thank you.
I do want to say that, well, we will make our recommendations. Certainly the commission can say, you know, we'll tell you those that we think are on the bubble, and you can decide to move people up, move them down. That's not our call, but we want to dial it down as much as possible for you to refine that process.
And if you have your own security group that you would prefer to do the background checks, that's okay with us.
Okay.
But we had the Pentagon tell me one time, we asked, offered to do that. They said, son, we know more about you than you know.
Do you have any other quick questions for us at this stage, Tom or Bill?
Well, I think that covers most of my questions, if not all of them. Again, this would be a great opportunity to work in our own backyard with an organization that I've had the opportunity to be, feel like, work with for the last 13 years. So this would be a nice little feather in the hat.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say on behalf of the commission, I want to say thank you for your response to the RFP. Thank you for spending some time with us this morning. And we'll look forward to a decision here, hopefully fairly soon on this matter. So thank you.
Just remember, we're only 45 minutes away, so if you just come back.
Depends on the time of day.
10 o'clock at night.
At 2 a.m. Yeah.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you again, Bill and Tom.
Tom, it's so great to see you. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that jacket's mine. Yeah, just put that in. It's fine. Thank you.
Yeah. John didn't want to be late for his funeral.
I don't know. Apparently, I came up with the last one.
I tell you what's scary is over the weekend, I opened up the newspaper and there's two people younger than me.
Oh, yeah.
Vegetables. This dick would just start getting that kind of stuff.
I knew about one, but then the other one was a total surprise.
That's the reason I get the trip.
Former neighbor of ours. And it's just like, oh, my God. Very nice person, too. It's just really nice. Oh, Marilyn Rasmussen. You know, I haven't seen her in quite some time. And I had a
dairy business, wasn't she?
She was, but then she got a divorce, and then she was in the cattle business with her son for beef cattle.
That's not as bad as dairy.
But I don't see any animals on her farm at all now. So I haven't talked to her in a very long time. Yeah. As soon as Commissioner Mazzano comes back, we'll be ready to score, hopefully.
We got early meeting tomorrow too, 9 o'clock airport.
9 o'clock at the airport. You guys are just coming to say.
You know, my second trip to the gym.
You're going to the gym twice a day?
I go first thing in the morning about 5:15, come in at 6, have breakfast, and then I go get in for an hour. No, in the morning.
Only in the morning.
So what do you do first and then second? Do you do the same things?
No, I'll do more. I'll start with a 3 to 4 minute plank, then I do 20 push-ups, bodies to full body.
At the 5:15 time.
Yeah, and then I'll do 3 reps at 9 o'clock. I do 3 reps at 20 on the ball. Then I do 60. I do 100 leg lifts.
I'm just trying to figure out how to get to my next physical therapy program.
I can keep up with all the 45-year-old guys.
I believe it. That is impressive, Don.
My trainer said, we need to do these leg lifts. Okay, I'll do them if you'll do them. So I did 100. Oh, my dick almost killed him. He does something else. He's built like a brick house. And I found that it's the girls that are the hard workers.
So where do you go to do this?
I go at Anytime Fitness up in...
Because I've been going to the... I subscribe to the LA Fitness program, and I like to swim. So that's what my routine is.
It's good for you because it's easier on your muscles.
And for my legs, because I get hips. My muscles just kill.
I find the ones where you have to get these strange positions. They said, do you want weights? Can you do it without weights? No, I want weights because I use them as outriggers.
For balance. Absolutely. Well, that's pretty important, you know.
Yeah. It's one of the things that you notice. That's one of the things that goes. You can get up to all, you can't catch yourself quite as quick.
Yeah.
I was impressed with Tom holding the RCW.
That's his background.
I know.
Commissioner Marzano, are you ready to express an opinion in terms of your first rank firm?
Yeah, okay. I believe I am.
Why don't we do this? Mark, would you just keep a tally? And what I'd like to do is I will go around and ask for who is the number one. And then what I would like to do is have you state why it is that you recommend that be
okay?
Or maybe you can do it at the same time.
Thank you.
Do it at the same time. That way it makes it easier. So let's start. Mark, you keep track for me, and then you tally it up.
Okay. No card.
Commissioner Marzano?
Yeah.
Is it that you would recommend as being number one?
I would recommend the Shea Hardy group, and there's a couple reasons why. I think it's imperative and important the fact that they have had experience with court-related searches, no doubt. And as I looked at the various placements they put in, one of the things that I think stands out for me is the fact that a lot of the people they picked. And I'll go to Massport, Port of New York, New Jersey, Port Hueneme, Port of Long Beach. These are all business development managers, director of business, assistant director of business, deputy port director of business in Massport. So, I mean, they have the experience with regards to, I think, what we're looking for. And I understand that we have to develop that. This is not to say that the other... the company we dealt with is in any means lacking. It's just that if I had to weigh the two, which I did, I believe Shea is the one I would be choosing.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Petrich.
My top vote getter here was Shea Harding as well. And I was surprised, in fact, that when asked that question about the diversity of jobs that Sue didn't mention, all the business development people that were on that list.
Yeah.
So there has been more of that than I would have expected. I think that it's going to be, we have the experience of working with Shea Harding in the past, and I think we're familiar with the kind of dedication that comes into the process as they lead that up. I just mentioned, I was delighted with that. Tom Young, when he quoted the RCW, I thought that was a pretty cool boy. Yeah, we really know the public sector well, and that's true, and he does. And yet the experience that they have in people who work in those areas didn't seem, well, they weren't huge for either candidate, but I think my choice is the right one.
Very good. Commissioner Johnson, thank you.
I agree with the prior comments. I'm totally for Shea. I had a great experience the last time, and the people they've done work for in the past has been right. The kind of people that we need to have do the search. And I think my impression of their presentation, they've given a lot of effort and thought about our situation. which I didn't see in the second presentation. I saw a canned presentation for anybody. And because some of the comments just didn't seem appropriate, like we had a lot of in-depth thought. And I think that there was much more prepared for the search and could just jump in for it. Totally in favor of Shan. I'd look for somebody else. I'd look for somebody else. I wouldn't look for that for the other one.
Very good. Thank you very much. The other thing, just for the record, Commissioner McCarthy did leave his evaluation form with me. And just for the record, his top firm was Shea Hardy as well. For me, my top firm is Shea Hardy. And part of the thing, though, that I think the last presenter really hit home for me was the diversity award. That is something that I think is pretty strong on your behalf. But what I think really sways me towards Shay in a significant way is I like the fact that in her presentation, she talked about timelines and what was important to us coming together and the decision-making process. I thought that's real, to be honest about it. And some of the issues we face today is schedules.
That's hard to
draw it out. And I think she was very upfront about that. And I think that lends what I consider to be real experience, real-time experience. So I would say at this time, I'd like to do the things. If you're taking a motion, indicating that the president be authorized to sign the contract for Shea Hardy.
So moved.
Second.
Any further conversation? If not, hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioner McCarthy should be noted as being absent for this part. Any other business before us? This is a special meeting. By the way, we've got to keep our score sheets and hand them to Mark, so this is part of the record.
You are. All four of them.
Any other items that we can talk about at this stage of the game? If not, hearing none, all of us right now declare adjourned.